The construction industry is at the brink, with a number of key construction firms having gone into business rescue and others going into voluntary liquidation, and those not there yet barely keeping their head above water. A number of factors have conspired to create an adverse environment for the construction sector. The key ones include a slowdown in government infrastructure spending, government not adhering to principles of on-time payment to contractors, the generally lackluster economic growth environment, and the growth of the sinister phenomenon of the construction mafia. On top of this, there's a feeling that government has not seized on the decline in the construction sector with the necessary urgency. Well, to tell us the latest goings on in the construction industry and the way forward, I'm joined in studio by Yunus Bayat. He's at the Association of South African Quantity Surveyors, and Roy Mnisi, who's on the line. He's an executive director at Master Builders South Africa. Thanks very much for joining us, gentlemen. Roy, let me start with you. In the last year or so, how many construction firms have fallen, and what's the common thread between them, if any?
Thank you very much. Good evening, Nompumelelo, and good evening to all SAFM listeners. Nompumelelo, allow me first, before I get straight to your question, to introduce to your listeners who NBS is. Can I do that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Master Builders South Africa is a federation of employers in the construction industry. Our primary objective is to promote and protect the interests of our members in particular and those of the industry in general. We have a total of approximately 4,000 members made up of emerging contractors, medium-sized construction firms, up to listed companies in the joint state of the British Exchange, belonging to our 11 associations in the country. I must say we are very much concerned about the state of our industry, more especially the state of violence, intimidation, and destruction of property on construction sites. I will come to that later. Nompumelelo and your listeners will be aware that since 2016, construction industry has seen an experienced unprecedented decline emanating from, amongst other things, late and non-payment by government. There you are talking specifically about municipalities who are unable to pay our contractors, provincial government who are unable to pay our contractors, national government, as well as state-owned companies. Secondly, we have got the spate of violence, destruction of property in the construction industry done by the so-called local business forums. I'll talk to that at a later stage. As you have already alluded earlier on during your introduction, the sluggish economic growth as well has been done well, you know, to assist our industry to pick up, you know, from the losses of the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So all that combined has resulted in a lot of our companies filing for voluntary liquidation, some of them filing for final liquidation. Just by way of example, we have got some of the biggest outfits, the like of NMC, that went to final liquidation last year. You would have read about the Basel rate filing for business rescue as well last year,
yes,
and Group 5 has been followed suit this year. So all those combined has actually resulted in the decline or the collapse of the construction industry, and we have been calling upon government to start doing something about this. I mean, the time to talk about it, it is gone. We cannot afford to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
We need to be doing something. We need to come with action that will help resuscitate our industry if we are to actually see the industry not collapsing totally.
Yeah. Yunus, what do you see as the biggest threats to the construction sector right now?
First and foremost, thanks for having us over. And secondly, Roy, by the way, how are you doing, Roy?
I'm very well, thank you.
All right, good man. It was good listening to you over there. Sorry, Nompo, can you just repeat your
question?
Yeah,
so basically, what do you see as the biggest threats to the construction sector right now?
Okay. Roy has pretty much covered everything fairly well over there, so that's good. But this entire matter is a very serious threat, because this matter is now, can be looked at, in my view, as equal to the other challenges that South Africa faces right now. we look at our state-owned enterprises, which are crippling as we stand. I mean, as we're speaking right now, the lights could just drop suddenly, and we know where that comes from. So we have enough challenges enough already in South Africa, and this is just going to be something new altogether. And in my view, and I share this, we share similar thoughts with other professionals in the industry, whereby we believe that this kind of extortionist sort of epidemic that is going on construction sites has the potential of having a crippling effect on our economy. And why we say that is because we're dealing with the construction sector here, which is, if not the largest, then it's one of the largest contributors in the South African economy.
And Roy, is there any satisfaction with how the police or how police officials are dealing with the construction mafia? Because that they seem to be really posing a massive problem in terms of just coming onto building sites and taking over with arms even. What's your level of satisfaction, and have you approached authorities about this? What sort of reaction have you been getting around this issue?
Thank you very much. We have been engaging with authorities, more especially the sector department, the Treasury, the Department of Public Works, the Ministry of Police at a provincial level and at a national level. And I must say to you, Nompumelelo, that we are not happy with the manner and the speed within which these matters are being dealt with. Let me indicate first and foremost that this forum masquerades as people or formation fighting against economic exclusion in the construction sector, but they are not. If you look at their modus operandi, they attack all sites, including sites with local genuine subcontractors, many of whom are SMMEs and companies owned by the historically disadvantaged individuals. They intimidate contractors everywhere. They ban equipment on site. They even go to an extent of killing. Quite honestly, one is taking a risk talking against this even at this point in time, but somebody has to do it. So no one with just cause does that in a developmental society. As a Federation of Employers, we have always said that we are not opposing economic transformation. We are fully behind it and encourage our members to fully comply with the requirements of the BBB Act, the sector codes, for example. But these people continue to do what they are doing, and it's because they are incentivized, if I can say that, because we report them to the police. Police do nothing about them. I mean, earlier during the day, one of the federations spoke to your colleague, Satina Kamwendo, indicated that there was an instance wherein a contractor has been killed in KZN. Everybody knows who does that, but as I'm speaking to you now, that person, those people have even been arrested. So quite honestly, you can say without doubt that government and more especially the law enforcement agencies are not helping the cause here. They are not assisting us at all, because these people, what they are doing is purely criminal. You know, as the saying goes, the business of business is doing business. But we expect our member companies to do more than that. We also responded by going back to our members and tell them, urge them to make sure that they comply with the transformational laws of this country. That's the bit that we can do.
Yeah.
But we cannot expect a situation wherein the government just allow lawlessness to happen anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
We have done a lot in terms of, making sure that we obtain court interdict. But this is what happens. If today really goes and intimidates people on site, we'll go and obtain an interdict. Tomorrow, Lawrence goes, does the same thing. We will obtain an interdict. Next week, it's Bongani, goes and do the same thing. We obtain an interdict. We cannot work like that. We cannot work like that.
Right.
Because people realize that there are no legal consequences, they will keep on doing that. Hence, we are appealing to government to start doing something about it.
Yeah.
We cannot have this going on forever.
Roy, let me come in there to give Eunice obviously some opportunity. Eunice, you mentioned that it's not just small construction developments being affected by this, but large projects which have resulted in key project developers walking away. It's understandable that you want the rule of law to take effect, but what remedial measures do you want to be put in place so that the situation doesn't get any worse?
Again, that's a good question, Nompo. Right now, as things stand from the information we have received, it appears that at this stage there are up to 78 of the larger construction projects in South Africa that are already affected. Just yesterday, I drove past a project in Durban, and I thought to myself, wow, this site is still on standstill. And that's two sites that I drove past, really, actually. It was the other one is the famous Oceans development, but that has its own different set of challenges. The situation is really quite grave, and it's one of those situations where you're going to say it can't get any better, it can only get worse, it will only get worse. But we don't want to say that. We can't be wanting to say that. We have a lot of expertise in this country. We have professionals, experts. We got the government. Government is running a decent EPWP program, which is known as the Expanded Public Works Program, which works. Yes, it is under severe criticism and strain at the moment. That is all yet to be dealt with. Government can grapple with that how they want to. They have their own challenges within that program as well. This is on the same tones, but being approached in a very unacceptable manner. The barbarism that goes with it, their modus operandi is unacceptable. We hear what they're saying, we understand what they're all about, but we want to put out a statement to them together with MBSA and all the other bodies and forums that are, organizations and associations that are responding to this crisis, which is where we're at right now. We want to say to these guys, look, let's try and find some sort of a resolve. Let's even haul in government and tell them, guys, we really need to sit and talk because this is a force of its own. They're not going to stop. As Roy just said now, Sipo goes to site, he gets interdicted. The next day, Bongani is going to site, and then the next day, and it's just going to carry on. And before you know it, I mean, if you look at in the case of this M10-2 bridge project down in PE or in the Eastern Cape somewhere, my understanding here is that, and I think that was an Avenge Grinica project, but my understanding here from what we're hearing in reports coming back from the foreman and the project managers is they're busy on a very unique project which is highly engineered, has specific engineering design, particularly for that particular bridge, meaning that its style and nature of construction cannot be halted for more than a certain short period of time, beyond which the engineering design and the engineering outcome starts becoming defeated. And yeah, we're building, we're talking about a bridge here. In the future, millions of people are going to cross these bridges with motor cars, trucks, buses, and human beings.
Yes.
And we want that bridge to be there as long as all our other bridges are holding up really well in South Africa, because simply because we build good bridges. We have always been building good bridges. We are South Africa, but we need a change. And this is really crippling matters.
Roy, with all the calamity we've discussed, you know, in terms of the construction mafia, the economic dynamics and so on, that's affecting the construction industry, how has this translated on job losses, and what sort of contribution has the construction industry made overall to, you know, the bigger jobs picture traditionally?
Thank you very much. The effects and consequences are very much dire. It has already been indicated that many engineers are leaving the country. Many construction companies are shutting down their businesses. Many SMEs are closing shop. Many employees are losing their jobs. Many families are losing their source of income. No foreign and local investment in the sector. In the future, we may actually have to rely on foreign capacity, you know, to build our infrastructure. We still need to build schools, we still need to build hospitals, we still need to build roads. But to go straight and specific to your question, the loss of employment is dire. I must indicate that construction sector in itself contributes a total of approximately 11% of the entire South African workforce. So you can imagine if companies are shutting down in mass, as we are seeing happening now, you can imagine the number of people that will be losing their jobs, the number of families that will go to bed hungry because their breadwinners have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
So the consequences and the situation is very much dire.
Mm.
You cannot overemphasize that aspect.
Eunice, just touching on what Roy has just said, obviously, like with anything else in life, if you don't continue practicing at something, your ability to do it then diminishes. So if you're going to get a situation where the local South African construction industry, they are not getting enough jobs and having to let go of people and basically not exercising the practice of building and doing project work, then Roy did talk about having to now import capacity from overseas, effectively killing the ability of local South Africans to build the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me try and answer your question like this, and I haven't done any research, and I'm going to after we're done here. Google is there. But I'm going to take a guess here and say that the construction industry in South Africa probably contributes anywhere between 20 to 30% of our GDP, or if not more. I may be wrong. I haven't done any adequate research here. But if what I'm saying is correct, or even anywhere close to what it is, even if it's less than that, even if it's only 10%, 10% is a huge chunk of a GDP. We're talking about crippling 10% of our GDP here. Roy has already correctly gave you some examples of what's going on. I read something earlier today in a press release from SAFSEC, something to the effect that up to now, at this stage, up to 110 civil stroke structural engineers and other construction experts, meaning highly professional and highly specialized construction foremen, project managers, etc., have already fled the country. If it's 110 now, that's 110 too many. It's not even 100 too many. We can't be losing our professionals, because then when we get a spreadsheet that says South Africa's skill shortages, engineers, we need so many thousand engineers, we need so many thousand quantity surveyors, we need so many thousand architects, but yeah, we got the people, and they're walking away. They're fleeing the country because they're having guns pointed at them. They're having AK-47s pointed at them. This can't be. We need some normalization in our industry.
Gentlemen, you know what? Time constraints mean that we have to end this conversation, but there is so much more to talk about. Hopefully we'll do that in the future. Thank you very much both for your time. Now, that was Eunice Bayat. He's the president of the Association of the South African Quantity Surveyors, and Roy Mnisi, he's the executive director at Master Builders South Africa. Thanks very much, gentlemen.